slightly later this week than advertised normally because I was away, believe it or not, very brief.
Lazy fucking cunt.
People are like, you're always off. I've been off literally fucking about 5 days this year, right?
People giving you a hard time on Twitter, calling you a lazy fucker.
You know.
Even I stepped in to defend you. I said, he's had about 3 days off in a decade.
I know, unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, we'll tell you more about that later, but... first off, we have to kick it off, do we not, with yet another fucking
the High Court.
Judicial ruling. That, oh, you can't send these nasty people to Rwanda because they're not really very nasty people and they might be sent back to the countries they came from.
Yeah.
And so it's illegal to send them to fucking Rwanda.
Or another interpretation, these fucking judges sitting there in giving their verdict, what they're really doing is saying, oh, we're left wing like everyone else in the establishment. We read The Guardian and we're going to deliver a verdict that fucks the Rwanda scheme up because we don't like things like that because we're liberal and wonderful. That's all our judiciary is now, a confirmation of left wing, liberal, woke bollocks.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Like the rest of the British fucking establishment is now, you know, if you were going to be a punk rocker now, you'd be a right winger, wouldn't you? You couldn't be a lefty because every other cunt is a lefty, and that's the problem. Well, we'll get onto Glastonbury later on.
Yeah.
But you know, to be a right winger now is to be a proper fucking revolutionary.
Well, I mean,
anti-establishment.
The establishment is the BBC, the Guardian, the left-leaning politicians, and in the left-leaning politicians,
the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yeah, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the left-leaning politicians, half of them are fucking Tories. Are they at it again this week? The Women and Equalities Commission going on about our children must be allowed to identify and we mustn't send children to Rwanda. These are Tories. These are Tories doing that fucking thing that we always say. They think, oh, Labour, if they get some votes, we'll try and steal their votes by being all liberal. Bollocks. Why don't you be Tories? Then I might fucking vote for
people in this country are, by and large, filled with fucking common sense. Do not like fucking left-wing politics, do not like fucking illegal migrants, do not like their fucking towns being fucking filled with hotels full of migrants. They don't like people coming to this country who shouldn't be fucking here. Yeah. And they don't like paying a load of fucking tax and paying for fucking net zero, thanks very much.
Exactly.
That's the country.
Yeah, I know.
Most of it.
And yet the body politic seems to have completely lost touch with it. That the vast majority of people in this country, they'd like to stop the fucking boats.
Yeah.
They don't want legal routes. They want no fucking routes for migrants to come in.
Exactly.
And they don't want to waste their fucking money on this green claptrap. The body politic is led by its own liberal instincts. They don't even look to the people. The people do not want what this government is doing and will definitely not want what the fucking Labour government will do.
Do you see what fucking Rishi Sunak's going to do? He's going to put back the levy, the £170 levy, on green fucking taxes.
It's coming back this week.
Liz Truss did away with, right? He's bringing that back. There's already another fucking £84 levy, and all it's doing is making these fucking green industrialists fucking rich.
Yeah.
And we're getting fucked in the arse.
All on the back of unproven scientific theories.
Oh, what you mean, the settled science?
Well, yeah, it's not settled science. It's unproven. No one's proved that mankind is responsible for climate change.
No, they haven't.
No one.
Well, they also haven't proven whatever it is that they think they're going to do will make any fucking difference.
Yeah, you prove it's all down to us and I'll be on the fucking bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know, save the world, save the planet. I'll be out there, just stop oil and all that.
It's good to see,
but they haven't proved it.
Those wankers this week. It's good to see that old fucking Charles is joining in on the fun, isn't
it? Of course he is.
He's launched a fucking climate clock with Sadiq Khan.
Yeah.
You know, apparently we've only got 6 years left till we all fucking die a horrible death. The only good news about that is, at least in 6 years, fucking Sadiq Khan won't be fucking mayor anymore.
Yeah, tick tock.
They might as well put that bloke in who likes fondling women's breasts.
Yeah. Hey Charlie, tick tock. What's that crunching noise? That's the noise of me stamping on your fucking stupid climate change clock, you green king twat. Fuck's sake, and your fucking son.
Hang on, you're missing the nuances that he's putting in. He's asked them not to put the heating on in the swimming pool at Buckingham Palace. And he's asked to turn down all the thermostats to 19 degrees. because it shouldn't be any hotter than that, even in the winter.
They should stop the fucking. They should stop Charlie and Will's doing all this climate change stuff. That's political. It's deeply political.
Yeah.
Why have the royal family turned themselves into a party political broadcast on behalf
but
of
have
the
you
Labour
noticed as well,
and Green parties? Why have they done that?
Have you noticed? Well, because they also have to go to these dinner parties where everybody says horrible things to them and says, oh, you're not very nice. You don't believe in climate change. You must be a bastard or possibly a Tory. You know, they can't possibly have that. But have you seen the other bullshit now where you've got these activists who say, well, do you know what? Even if it isn't true that we're going to have to save net zero and change the climate, you're going to make the world a better place. Why wouldn't you want to do it? Well, because I don't want you telling me what fucking car to drive. I don't want you telling me what fucking gas cooker to have or whether I can have a fucking wood-burning stove. Have you seen what's going on in New York with the fucking restaurants? They're all up in arms because the stupid governor of New York, who's this lefty liberal fuckwit, decided to ban pizza ovens and fucking gas-powered kitchens.
Pizza ovens in New York,
yeah.
Fucking
so,
hell.
I mean,
best pizzas in the world.
Best pizzas in the world. And it's people's fucking
fuck
livelihoods.
Fuck's sake, raisin oil. Yeah. Fuck off.
I mean, the wood-burning ones, because you can't have that. You have to have an electric ones.
Oh, Jesus.
And people are just going, just fuck off out of our lives. Stop fucking telling us what we can't do.
And stop
stick
assuming...
it up your ass.
Stop assuming that mankind, if we switch a few fucking pizza ovens off, the world is saved. We could go back to fucking horses and carts, and no one knows it would
the
make
Stone
any,
Age.
Any bloody difference.
Yeah. Her name's Kathleen Hochul. Born in 1958, American politician, has been the governor
of New
York since 2021. She's New York's first female governor.
Yeah,
does she have a penis?
No, but she said, I don't know about that, but she certainly sounds like a cock.
Right.
What a fuck. Yeah,
but people are up in arms and they've actually had to reverse it now because they've now said there's such a fucking revolt against it that they've said, oh, well, you just can't have a new one. If you've actually got a gas cooker, because every commercial kitchen runs on gas. Every fucking chef will tell you that, right? You've been in plenty of fucking, celebrity kitchens, and the celebrity, people in New York and all the fucking, even the high-end fucking restaurants are going, you can't cook without fucking gas.
Yeah.
They don't want to cook on electric fucking cookers because gas is better.
Yeah, to go back to, the policies back here. I mean, this migrant shit, this fucking Rwanda thing.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, look, we should be flying into East Africa because it will be a bit of a deterrent because now that we're not going to do that...
more will come.
There's no deterrent whatsoever to stop people coming
across.
And also,
to make matters worse, the UN's own fucking refugee council, the UNHCR, has already used Rwanda to put refugees in from fucking Libya.
Yeah.
They brought them over and put them in a safe haven, which is Rwanda.
Yeah.
The fucking Israelis have done it. The Danish have done it. The Norwegians have done it. They've all used Rwanda as a safe haven. But according to our lefty fucking, judges, oh no, it's too dangerous.
Well, they're saying that Rwanda may well send these migrants back
good.
To their own country.
Well, good.
Well, yeah, that's because their asylum applications are actually, in Rwanda, their asylum applications are being processed by the Home Office. So we're waiting for their applications to be fucking processed. And at the end of that, if they fail, they get sent back to their home fucking countries.
Yeah.
Hey ho.
Also,
the way the
everybody
cookie
knows,
fucking crumbles.
Everybody knows how the fucking cookie works as well. Care for Calais, one of the charities, was one of the ones that was taking this case to the Supreme, to the appeals court, right? The quick case that they won. Because everybody knows that if you tell the fucking Home Office guy who's quizzing you why you've come here, you can either say, I'm a homosexual, or I can't go home because if I do go home, I'll be persecuted and possibly tortured because I'm a she-male or I've got a fucking chick with a dick. Whatever it is you say, and they just believe you. They go, oh, okay, then you better stay here.
Yeah.
We don't kind of you going back and being tortured. Well, I'm sorry if you come from a country where they torture people, but that's your fucking tough shit, isn't it?
So you know, like Arsenal has got go to Rwanda on
their
shirts. Yeah,
visit Rwanda.
So what's it? Visit Rwanda on their shirts. So what are they going to have next season? Visit this torture-ridden, war-ridden hellhole Rwanda. I mean, the richest club in Britain is getting loads and loads of money from this East African country to basically entice people to go there on holiday.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, we're being told by a high and mighty judge that this place is a hellhole, a backwards hellhole, yeah, that isn't to be trusted. Well, which, what kind of a fucking country
both,
actually is it?
No, and what also, is it? If the UN thinks it's okay to put refugees there, why can't we? I mean, that's a more basic fucking question, isn't it?
Yeah, just fucking send them there.
Yeah.
Fucking, and then they go, it's going to be £169,000.
Yeah, how do they work that out?
Well, first of all, it's not. And secondly, fine, pay the fucking money, I don't care.
Well, yeah, hang on. You can go to New York first class on BA for 16 grand.
No, that's bullshit.
How do they get 169,000 for one flight, one way? Fuck
well,
off.
But well, who collated that number? It was the Home Office.
The Home Office.
The Home
yeah.
Office, who want to project an image that the Rwanda scheme is unviable, implausible. They don't like it. Anyway, even if it's not true, but even if it did cost 170 grand per migrant, fuck it. Pay the money, send the fuckers there.
Well, I mean, you might as well just make them all millionaires and give them a fucking island to live on, you know. Somebody phoned in the other day and said, why don't you put them all on an island? There's plenty of uninhabited islands in the fucking Hebrides up in Scotland, on the west coast of Scotland, out in the middle of the fucking Atlantic. It's not very pleasant, but, you know, it rains a lot. But what's wrong with that? Put them in a barracks there, build it, no problem at all.
I mean, you've got our friends sort of Ben Habib, Richard Tice, people like that. They pour piss all over the Rwanda scheme. Mm. So it's never going to work. It's not going to work as a deterrent. We've just got to stop the boats. Well, yeah, stop the boats, but why not have this other deterrent there?
Well, if it works,
you know,
it
don't piss on it. Let's
no,
do
I've,
it.
No, I've always said that. It would be, if they got to send people
be.
There, people would stop coming.
Yeah.
They'd go, well, I don't fancy fucking Rwanda much.
We stop your boats, and if you, on the off chance you do get through, you could end up in East Africa.
Right.
Then we'd have a viable system.
Exactly.
So we should be doing both, if you
ask. But don't worry, we've given loads of money to Rwanda and sent no fucker there.
140 million
we've
quid.
We've got even more money given to France. Yeah. We haven't sent anybody back there either.
Fucking
hell. I mean, we are literally the laughing stock of the fucking world.
Yeah,
everyone's taking the piss. The fucking migrants are taking the piss. The fucking people trafficking are taking the piss. The other foreign governments are taking the piss. The French, the courts, the fucking union, right? The Home Office fucking civil service union was part of the action today that took the government to court.
I know.
What?
Well, yeah, in order to not do
the
their
PCS.
Job. So that's like you and me taking Talk TV, the bosses, to court because they want us to present TV programmes.
Yeah. Right.
You know, how just dare you?
Yeah.
You want me to present a TV programme? You mean the job you hire me for? I'm taking you to court.
Yeah.
That's what they're fucking doing.
And I'm going
to
win.
They're taking the government to court because the government wants to do them to do the job they're employed to do. How fucking mad is that?
It's just as well these people weren't in charge during the fucking war, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
How are we going to stop the Germans coming? Oh, we can't. So, Kevin, this podcast is brought to us by NordVPN, which is a new subscriber to us, a new advertiser for us as well. So here at the Thought Police, we're very happy about that. And NordVPN is something that an awful lot of people are beginning to learn about. A VPN basically means you can have your own private network. It means you can basically go anywhere in the world and nobody knows exactly where you are. It's a much better, secure way to use the internet. You can take it anywhere you like. It means nobody can track you. It means that when you are actually surfing on the net, you can say that you're not where you are, because sometimes that's where people start using you for phishing expeditions. A NordVPN is basically a way of protecting yourself from all of those kinds of security threats, your phone getting hacked, your numbers getting hacked, your emails getting hacked, and all of that. It's really easy to use with one click, or enable auto connect for zero click protection. That's how you can connect. It's got 5,700 plus servers in 60 different countries. If you find a server near you, you can get a better speed, you get a higher speed. You can sometimes get better travel deals because you can apply for the deal that you're getting from a different place from where you actually are. So I've tried it, and my kids have all tried it as well. They love it, because if you're bored and you've fed up with all the stuff that you've seen on various different channels, whether it's Netflix, whether it's Disney, whether it's Amazon, you know, you can basically re-associate yourself, and you can move yourself to America where you can perfectly legally download shows and watch shows from there, which aren't even available here. So that's a really, really big plus for getting a VPN. And what does it do? It basically acts as a secure relay between your device and the internet. So a VPN, a virtual private network, is integral to your security and privacy online. Online traffic between you and our VPN service is encrypted, shielding your online activities from prying eyes. Websites and services only see the VPN server's IP address, hiding your virtual location. So remember, all you got to do is think of the Thought Police, and this is easy. You go to nordvpn.com/thoughtpolice and enjoy.
Also, Matt, it's just as well that Matt Hancock wasn't health secretary during the pandemic. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. He fucking was. What a cunt. I mean, the fucking... That performance last in the COVID inquiry. And what was he talking about? The only mistake was that the lockdowns weren't early or extensive enough. No, Matt. What the only mistake was the fucking lockdowns didn't work, you stupid little self-defense protective prick.
I mean, the trouble with Matt Hancock is he's obsessed with his own fucking importance, right? And apparently...
He's trying to save his own arse.
According to him... Well, I don't know what he's trying to save. He's not going to be in politics anymore. I don't know what he's going to do next. But he is single-handedly the most narcissistic person I think I've ever seen in public life. Where he finished off his little speech after he said how sorry he was. He said, you know, I find it, you know how difficult I find it talking about my emotions. I'm like, no, you fucking don't. It's all you ever do. Yeah. Who can forget him weeping fucking Good Morning Britain when he didn't even look sincere enough to be actually weeping? He wept again in some interview he was doing out on the street.
And then went on about his fucking emotions constantly when he was in the goddamn jungle.
Yeah.
I fell in love. Fuck off.
Yeah, right. With old Gina.
I fell in love with her. I couldn't resist sticking my tongue down a woman's throat, breaking my own fucking regulations in the middle of the health department. Fucking social distancing.
You couldn't take my hands off Gina Lollobrigida's.
But he's doing is, you see, he's one of these politicians. Most politicians, no matter what side of the house they're on, when you say the fundamental thing about the COVID crisis, the fundamental thing that the COVID inquiry should be about is the lockdowns.
Yeah.
We are suffering now because of the lockdowns.
They're not asking the right
questions.
The point is,
they didn't fucking work. The inquiry and politicians, Hancock, they will not even listen to the suggestion that just maybe the lockdowns were the most catastrophic mistake in modern history, because that's what they fucking were. And so Hancock, if he concedes the lockdowns were wrong, all is lost for him.
But the problem as well, though, is that people who are doing the questioning have got the wrong end of the fucking stick, because they're not starting from the premise that lockdowns were wrong.
I know.
The premise that lockdowns were right. And they're asking why the lockdown wasn't more effective.
Well, that's
the wrong fucking question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The COVID inquiry should be about one thing, really. Should we have a lockdown again? Mm. The answer to that is, of course, no. But people like Hancock have to say, well, lockdowns that I imposed, you know, and fucking wrecked the country, they were worth it because they saved lives. The Johns Hopkins University in America has calculated that all of our lockdowns, tops, might have saved 1,750 lives.
As opposed to the 400,000 that Ferguson said they would save.
Well, he said that unless we locked down, 500,000 people would die.
Yeah, well, he was fucking wrong, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he's totally wrong. Well, if it's 1,000, if John Hopkins is right, and it's 1,750, then the lockdowns, they weren't just a catastrophic mistake. They were a calamity, a cataclysm, a real disaster, an unnecessary thing to do. And all of these people, Hancock and the fucking COVID inquiry, they're not even taking that on board. That's what we're worried about.
No.
That's what we're worried about.
No, exactly right. And so many of the fucking people who died from COVID didn't die from COVID, and we still haven't even had that question asked. You know, why was it, for example, that in the first year of COVID, that nobody died from flu? Normally, you get about 70,000 a year dying from flu, right? But that year, there were no flu deaths.
Yeah.
So you can only assume that they must have mingled them all in with the COVID deaths and called them COVID.
Yeah, but also the other thing about COVID was, you know, and I don't want to diminish the importance of it. You know, people suffered terrible tragedies and all that. Loads of people did. It was a health crisis. However, it was not as fucking extreme as we acted like it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a particularly lethal virus. And we were acting like it was the fucking bubonic plague.
Well, and I wonder why. One of the things that did come out from what Hancock said was that they were all concerned about where to bury everybody and how many body bags to have. So they'd obviously bought into this fucking narrative that we were dealing with some kind of, you know, almost, what do you call that movie, Outbreak, that Dustin Hoffman was in. They were dealing with a sort of Ebola-style fucking thing that was going to rip through the community and kill everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that partly fucking, like, distracted them, because they're thinking, shit, if we do have all these bodies piling up in the street, what are we going to do? But it was never going to be like that.
Well, they looked at Italy and they looked at China. They go, the only reason we ever had lockdowns is because of China. Oh, look, China's locking down. Should we do, what's the reason for that? Don't know, but should we do that? Oh, yeah, all right, let's do it. That's the only reason we fucking, no scientific reason. And, you know, any number of fucking experts will tell you they don't work. And I always say, you know, I've said this a million times, Mike, you know that, that if you have one lockdown, like we did at the beginning, it was about like 2 months, wasn't it, or something, or three or something.
Well, it started in March and it went to July.
Okay,
then,
well, look, fucking long. And yeah, you're right.
Because I remember we opened and the
then,
pub here,
then
didn't
you,
we?
And then
4th of
July.
4th of July, we did a show here.
Yeah, that's right. And then you unlock, and then about 3 weeks, and then the fucking virus comes steaming back and everybody starts getting it. So about 3 weeks later, you've got a lockdown again. That means the first lockdown didn't work.
Exactly.
It's obvious. It's inherent. Fucking, you know, we, the way they expect us to accept all of these people, Hancock and the gang, that they did a fantastic job in the COVID crisis. No, you fucking
didn't.
And his
defence for
not doing...
And
that goes for Boris Johnson too.
And his defence for not doing a brilliant job is that, you know, people gave him the wrong information. Yeah. And that they had loads of PPE, but they didn't have any way to distribute it.
Yeah.
Or we had loads of vaccines, but we didn't know what to do with them. We were told that we were ready by the World Health Organization, therefore we must have been ready. Well, no, actually, you're supposed to be somebody who asks the fucking question.
But you know, here's a... I mean, I hate the fucking World Health Organization.
Who doesn't?
Just get rid of it right
now.
Who
doesn't?
World Health Organization, in the middle of all this claptrap, said, don't stop locking down. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And we ignored that.
Well, they contradicted themselves several times. At the beginning, they said it couldn't jump the old COVID from one species to another. And if it was in a bat, it would never reach across and conflate with infection in humans. They got everything fucking wrong. They said, don't wear masks. Then they said, wear masks. Then they said, we don't need to stop people flying around. I always remember when I went to get my daughter the first Christmas, and I went to pick her up at the airport. You wouldn't fucking believe the number of flights that were coming in. And I'd said to some of these fucking scientists, scientists at the beginning.
The incoherent ears.
And I said, why you say that people can't go anywhere, but the airports are still open.
Yeah.
There are still people flying in from China. There's still people flying in from fucking Iran, which has got massive outbreaks. There's still people flying in from all over the world, including Italy. What's the point of telling us we can't go anywhere if all these fucking people are coming here? And the answer was, oh, well, the thing is, the virus is already here, so it doesn't matter. Well, in which case, why are we locking it down then?
Yeah.
There was no logic to it, was there?
But with the World Health Organization, Britain only listened to the World Health Organization if their advice was repressive. If it meant, if it was lockdown, keep people in their houses, then we went along with it. When they said, oh, wait a minute, we've had to think about these lockdowns, we don't think they work, don't do it again, then we ignored them at that point.
But this is why a lot of people just didn't fucking pay any attention to it.
Because the lockdown momentum was upon us. Mm. Anyway,
fuck all that.
Let's talk about the yellow brick road.
Oh, yeah, because our spy at Glastonbury, we can reveal, has been working very closely with the BBC employees, and I can tell you that he said that these people,
thousand of them, 1,000 BBC
staff, some
stuff.
Of the most overprivileged, fucking entitled wankers that he's ever come across, never seen a day's work in their life. It's a fucking big jolly for them down there. They're in and out of all the fucking shows. They're not really doing any fucking work. They're staying in hotels, very well looked after, eating, drinking. They don't give a fuck about the money because it's not their money. You know, unbelievable the amount of money that they've spent there. There's millions they've spent covering Elton John's greatest hits.
Every year they get criticised for the number of people they send to cover it.
So they should.
You know, they had 765 people covering the 2012 Olympics in London. They sent something like 500 to Rio. You know,
they will send more people to the Olympics
they
than
sent
four, Team GB.
300 you know? To Qatar. They send hundreds more members of staff than any other broadcaster to cover every event. Now, Glastonbury, for them, is like ground zero of perfection. It's their ideal event. A bunch of fucking middle-class twats pretending to be counterculture hippies for 1 week.
Yeah.
one weekend.
I mean, even with the best will in the world, you can't really call Chrissy Hynde fucking Elton John counterculture.
But that's the point. It's fucking middle class twats pretending to be counterculture hippies, listening to ancient musicians way past their fucking sell by date.
It's basically fucking
with a load of new age shit thrown in.
It's basically Chiswick, Clapham, and Richmond emptying their fucking houses and going west for a few days and maybe do a bit of microdosing and take some mushrooms. It'll be really fucking cool.
Yeah, well, except they mostly don't, do they? Just sit around drinking champagne, eating strawberries.
Well, maybe some of the more alternative ones that I know that were doing that sort of shit, you know, because they think it's cool, because that's what you do at Glasgow. It's so fucking embarrassing. I wouldn't be seen dead there. I fucking absolutely wouldn't be seen dead.
Well, I don't want to go there because it's fucking crowded and full of shit. But, you know.
Well, also, did you see how much they were charging people for fucking food? Talk about a rip-off. They were selling really, really paltry little sort of trays of chips for eight quid. The hamburgers were at 15.
Of course,
right? They were doing sort of, you know, katsu curry for 20 quid in a fucking paper bag.
But you know all those people you know all those people selling chips and pizzas and things?
Yeah.
You know, Glastonbury charges, it's fucking absolute fortune to get that stall.
Yeah.
100,000 sort of thing, you know.
Also, my favourite moment was when that band, whose name I forget, something to do with Brothers, started the chant, you know, say it loud, say it clear,
refugees are welcome
here. And then around the back, there's a fucking great big fence that doesn't let you in unless you've got 350 quid to buy a fucking ticket. So you're not welcome at fucking Glastonbury if you're a refugee, unless you've got a ticket. Absolute fucking two-faced, hypocritical wankers.
Yeah, I mean, also the lineup this year was fucking shit. I mean, Elton John, nice and emotional at the end and all that, but it wasn't that great a set.
I prefer...
Lana Del Rey comes onto the stage half an hour late.
And because she had her hair done.
She was still having her hair done when she came on the stage. Yeah. She was prancing around with her hairdresser doing her fucking hair. And because she was half an hour late, they shut her microphone down.
And that's another ridiculous thing that they do in this country, isn't it? Why the fuck would you shut the microphone down just because it's 11 o'clock at night? It's in the
midnight,
middle of nowhere.
Midnight,
whatever it is. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Well, they do it all the time. It's local council
stamping
their
feet. Yeah, I know, it's bullshit, though.
Yeah, but they do it at Hyde Park as well, and they shouldn't. I agree.
No, but they shouldn't do it. We live now.
Town halls.
We live in this fucking ludicrous
world. Town halls.
We live in this ludicrous fucking world, you know, where everything is health and safety, fucking council regulations. Yeah. We're going to fine you. They're going to fine you, by the way, if I don't know what it's like where you are, but in Sussex, they've got a hosepipe ban. You know, if they catch
you're southeast water, right?
Southern, I think, or southeast, one of the two. But if you fucking, you know, get shopped by the neighbours for watering your plants, right? If you get shopped by the neighbours for watering your plants, £1,000 fine for using the water you've already fucking paid to use, because that's what you fucking get charged.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, so fucking news emerges that Thames Water, my water company, biggest company,
absolute
one that covers
shit.
London.
Right.
So the debt state emerges is that they're £14 billion in debt and it's a complete fucking shambles.
Yeah.
And the useless chief executive has to quit instantly.
Despite giving yourself a 50% pay rise.
Yeah, and then we hear that it's about to go straight into administration. Absolute fucking
catastrophic. How can you not make money selling water?
This fucking story breaks. Just at the same time as on my phone, go, you haven't paid your water bill, Thames Water, right?
Yeah.
So I go, oh, fucking hell. So it's £240.20, right? So I go onto the website.
Is that for a quarter?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Well, it's London, isn't it?
Fucking lot of money, that.
Yeah. Well, it was more the last... Well, that's what it is.
You know, I always say it falls from the fucking sky, you collect it in a dish, and you give it to people and you sell it to them. How can you not make any fucking money doing that?
Yeah, 240 is quite good.
I think it
usually is about 300. But anyway, so £240.20, right? So I go onto the fucking website, right? And I, you know, it says, put your email in. Yes, sir, this is your email, and we've recognised your email. This is your account number and your IT. I go, yes. So it says, press this, and so I press that, and try to pay. It says, email not recognised. I said, well, you just fucking... and on and on it goes. So I can't fucking get the... I can't pay. So then I phone them up, Right.
So, that's never a good idea.
You know, on their number, and it says, we recognise from your number, here's the... here's the fucking here's your account number. We don't recognise it from your phone number. You owe us £240.20. So I put the 240. Keeps coming back saying you have entered £24. No, I haven't. You have entered £20. You have entered £21. In the end, I gave up. Just gave up.
So now they'll probably fine you.
Well, right? I put it on
Twitter. They nearly lost me a fucking house because
I was. It's unbelievable.
But first house I was buying, I think, I can't remember how long ago it was, but it was in London. But we'd moved from a house I was renting in Primrose Hill to another house that we were renting in Hendon. And we were then buying a house, I think, in Wiltshire. And we were doing that thing where you do the closing and it's the last day and everybody's exchanging fucking documents and all the... It's all going well. Suddenly I get a phone call from my fucking solicitor. He says, have you got any county court judgments against you? I said, well, I don't think so. Not that I know of. He said, well, they've found one. And I said, where? And it was in some fucking county court in St Albans, in Hertfordshire somewhere, right? Where apparently Thames Water had got a judgment against me because even though we had forwarded the account from the house in Primrose Hill to Hendon and we were continuing to pay the bill on the same account, because they'd been dropping letters in to charge the house, the first house, and nobody was living there, so nobody was seeing them, they got a fucking county court judgment against us for something like £100, which we didn't even owe them. And it nearly fucking scuppered the house deal. And I had to fucking clear it all up. In the end, I think I had to call Thames Water's fucking... I had to do the old heavy press thing on them and go, listen, I work for fucking newspapers. You want to fuck with me, you're going to have a fucking problem. But we had to do that. If you're an ordinary person, you'd have been fucked. And they would have basically said, no, we can't sell you the house now because you've got this bad credit. Fucking ridiculous.
I know, yeah. That's what I thought, you know. Like, so the day you get these stories all over the front pages, Thames Water... disintegrates, absolute shambles, nothing's working, chief executive has to quit. They're still super efficient, fucking banging on, going, hey, you owe us £240 until you try and fucking pay them. And then you think, well, when I'm one of their fucking £14 billion in debt, you can't actually pay them. Yeah. They've got a website that prevents you paying them. And then I get this in customer, you know, feedback, you know, how was your sale? I just said, hopeless. Don't you actually want to be paid? Yeah.
Wankers. Anyway, we're nearly out of time. I should finish up with Cyprus, where they didn't have a drought.
They didn't have any
potholes. And if you land there illegally from fucking North Africa, they lock you up. And the food's great.
That's the way to
do it. And the fucking roads are empty. There's not too many people. Played a bit of golf. It was fucking fantastic. You know, why is it everywhere else you go, everything works better than it does here?
Because it's not
literally
here.
Everything.
Yeah.
They all speak English. They drive on the fucking same side of the road as we do. Even the plugs are the same.
There's a lot of English people there. There's military still there.
There's still a military base there, yeah. But this is what the migrants try and clutch onto the rocks at the fucking the RAF base because they reckon that's British property. So if they can land there, they think they can... So I think the RAF guys are constantly with brushes, fucking, you know, brushing them back into the sea. You know, but it's fucking mad. Absolutely fucking mad. But I had a very nice time.
Yeah, I liked all the pictures you posted.
Yeah, thank you.
Just drinks and food.
Drinks,
mostly
food
drinks.
And swimming, yeah, absolutely right. Lots of ouzo, it was good. Right, anyway, we're going to do a Patreon coming up later on. So if you're not in Patreon, sign up to it for us. Find it on our page, our Thought Police account. And then you'll hear the really good stuff.
You're right.
Otherwise, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. We'll be right back.
cunt.